Robin Hood Radio presents Agriculture from Tucana Farms. Here's Mark Scherzer.
My hands this week are particularly disgusting to look at. The skin on my fingers is dry and peeling, and it's stained in blotches, a kind of dark yellowish to red brown that simply doesn't come off without a lengthy soaking in bleach I've neither the time nor the inclination to subject them to. Some of my fingernails, too, have a reddish-brown cast to them. I can attribute this rather unlawyerly appearance to several factors. Two are more or less weekly activities, pulling certain weeds like amaranth, called redroot, in the vegetable garden, and trimming sheep hooves, which involves scraping mud, congealed hay, and stones lodged in the hooves or between the digits of the sheep's feet, often using my fingernails to do so. Last weekend, I also spent a good deal of time attempting to reinstall one of the belts on the deck of the lawn tractor, which came flying off when it hit an object hidden in the grass Peter was mowing. But the most significant cause, the one that seems to have almost indelibly stained my hands, was removing black walnut husks. After seeing what the walnut juices did to my hands, I now understand why they were used by colonial Americans to make a rich, color-fast, earth-tone dye. It's been a year of abundance not only for fruits, but also for nuts. The shagbark hickory trees have been dropping scads of nuts, with their hard husks cooperatively splitting open all by themselves, enabling us to easily collect the sweet kernels inside. The oaks are similarly raining down acorns. Our neighbors Robert and Harriet have already graced us with several buckets full of acorns from their yard as treats for Vernon and the other pigs. Indeed, the pigs consider both the hickories and the acorns to be delicacies, crunching them before they turn to the damaged tomatoes and squashes they also so love. Meanwhile, the hybrid Japanese-American chestnut tree we planted some 15 or so years ago has been dropping its plenty. A couple of weeks ago, in the space of 15 minutes, I picked up just enough, about 2.5 pounds, to make Elizabeth David's rich chocolate and chestnut cake, pavé au marron, one of our delicacies. But by far the most interesting nut crop to me is that of the black walnut. In the first years after we planted them, what most struck us about the trees were how they poisoned the ground around them, even killing off some of our black currant bushes. I wrote about black walnuts from that perspective then, and we ended up removing two trees we had planted too close to the berry bushes. But now that the sole remaining black walnut tree behind our garage is mature and producing nuts in some quantity, the nuts themselves are much more my focus. We think of nuts as very hard things that grow in impervious shells, but it turns out that what we consider the shells of most nuts are actually interior shells, contained and growing within exterior structures that protect them as they grow. Chestnuts, for instance, are most inconveniently contained within spiny porcupine-like shells that are painful to pick up and to open. Hickories, on the other hand, have a smooth, thick, round carapace, which, as suggested above, usually splits open of its own accord and gives far easier access to the nuts inside. But when our black walnut tree first produced, I was quite surprised to learn that walnuts grow inside a very un-nut-like outer shell, a round, baseball-sized, spongy green husk of a consistency that would make great packing material for fragile objects if it didn't stain so badly. We perhaps should not be surprised at the wide variation in nutshells and their outer casings, shells within shells. Consider human beings, some of whose hardened exteriors conceal thin, vulnerable skins. Others, whose apparently yielding facade to the world belies an imperviousness to feeling within. I've spoken to other folks who have black walnut trees. Many of them tend to treat the produce of the tree as a nuisance which litters their yard, rather than as a treasured resource. And looking at these spongy greenish balls, which are decidedly unappetizing, you can understand why. Indeed, if the nuts are left inside the spongy casing, they tend to rot in fairly short order. You've got to get the spongy exterior off and dry the nut case in order to preserve the encased walnut meat inside. Hence the condition of my hands. This year, opening the spongy casing revealed not only the black walnut shells inside, but copious worm-like larvae of an infesting fly. As Peter noted last week, this year's growing season has resulted in an abundance of garden pests. My research suggests that the worm infesting ours is likely the walnut curculio. The flies lay their eggs in spring, and the larvae hatch out in late summer. There are pesticides one could spray to control this infestation, but most home black walnut raisers do not bother with them, because they do not affect the nut meat. I'm all for controlling disinfestors, however, because they can reduce the size of the kernels that grow. I'm doing that not by pesticides, but by throwing the freshly opened husks to our Rhode Island red chickens, who have been immediately gobbling up the larvae and will hopefully reduce the size of next year's infestation. Once you've dried the black walnut shells, which look like a smaller, pitch-black version of the English walnuts sold in markets, they keep virtually forever. We've opened nuts that have been in the cupboard for a couple of years to get the meat, and the flavor is quite fresh. And why are they still there 2 years later? Well, here's the other reason a lot of people don't bother with their black walnuts. Getting the thing open is no mean challenge. They are literally hard nuts to crack. A regular nutcracker is no match for a black walnut shell. A hammer, which is what we resorted to when our nutcracker failed, is incredibly awkward, as you have a round object that rolls and tends to explode and scatter when hit. Ultimately, I had to buy a special black walnut cracker, disguised as a Christmas present for Peter. A reinforced steel device about a foot long with an equally long arm which uses a lever and fulcrum design to bring sufficient force down on the secured nut to crack open the shell. It looks like something like an old-fashioned drill press. Peter was not terribly thrilled to have it. Once opened, the walnut meat rarely comes out in the nice big pieces of the standard English walnuts. You have to pick out the chunks of nut meat carefully. The process is somewhat arduous, and it's difficult to get walnut meat without some tiny shell fragments along with it. But the effort, I would say, is ultimately worth it. The nut meat of a black walnut is incredibly aromatic, almost like a strong perfume. I've seen it described as smokier and earthier than the English walnut, as an acquired taste, as better for cooking and baking than for snacking, since its flavor changes and intensifies as it's cooked. But I've quite enjoyed these walnuts raw, mixed in with my fruit, yogurt, and honey for breakfast in the morning. My friend George recently told me that the best parallel for my commitment to small-scale food production using traditional methods would be my trying to practice law with a scribe writing out my briefs using a quill. Impractical, unduly expensive, ultimately uneconomic. Maybe he's right, but the truth is that only in this model of production could you possibly experience the small joy of the black walnut.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Tricana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Tricana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of turkey. And his third hat is Tricana Gallery of old and antique kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.